And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, for your faithfulness and for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for being with us, for encouraging us, Lord, for opening the eyes of our understanding to see how precious indeed our lives are in this world and how precious we are to you. Lord, if we could understand, but even just a little bit more today, through the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts and minds, we would be eternally blessed, and our lives are changed and transformed by the absolute safety, security, joy, hope, and peace that are ours in Christ. Father, we just ask your blessing this time and again for the Spirit's leading in all things, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I'd like to begin by reading the first 11 verses. And then we'll talk about them. Ecclesiastes 1:1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. That which is done shall be that which shall be done. I just want emphasize that a little. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The book of Ecclesiastes, the writings of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, are often, people would often quote them as pure spiritual truth. But it is scripture. Things are true, but the perspective of Ecclesiastes is that of a godly man, an empowered man, we'll talk about that a little bit, giving his observations and reactions, because if you read this and say, well, gosh, this is a dismal sort of book, these are dismal writings, well, you have to read the whole book and get to the last chapter. Because his point is, in all this, is there's all these observations, kind of like the observations we find in the book of Job. Just because it's in the Bible, it's just recording the observations of his friends and Job pouring out his heart and his feelings and the troubles he went through. But the way it closes out explains the book. Explains the tenor of it. In other words, I would not quote certain verses in Ecclesiastes and make those doctrinal statements, but they do contribute to the body of truth when kept and put in context. So there's wisdom here. There is the imparting of observations and understanding that are valuable because these are the sort of thoughts that we think. These are the sort of things that we learn from. Yet they are not, building blocks of sound doctrine, taking one verse or one section as it stands. Otherwise, what the text I just read said, there's no use in living. And that's not true. We know that's not true. So turning back again to the beginning, the words of the preacher. The word preacher means an assembler. And actually, it's but it speaks of an assembler or a lecturer. Abstractly, it means preaching. That's what I do is I assemble words, I assemble thoughts, I assemble verses, I put them together and lecture and speak of them. It comes from a word which means to assemble or to gather people together. So there's a gathering to impart information and assemble thoughts. And one thing we find in this lifetime is people have a lot of scattered thoughts. This is something I run into all the time, every day in my work. They have a collection. I'll just a little plug for going to church. That's one of the advantages of church, where thoughts can be continually put together in a doctrinal, in a clear and straightforward way. We find people who do not attend church or do not read their Bibles, those who have feelings and opinions. I run into a myriad. Every person I meet, it seems, in my work, they have all sorts of a collection of different thoughts and feelings, and they'll quote things as if they're absolute truths and scriptures, even though they are not. And their logic leaves them spiritually weak. The purpose of the preacher, the purpose of Solomon's writing here is to bring together these scattered thoughts and these observations that might make life seem like it's again totally vanity. Life is not vanity, but a lot of things in this world that we pursue and that we give ourselves to are vanity, and they vex our spirits. Knowledge. I like learning. I like learning new things. I find certain things that interest me, and I give myself to them, whether it's in studies or in hobbies or activities. Whatever. I like to learn new things. And you know, there's no end to learning. There's no end to the things you can learn. I mean, all the things that made in this world, all the things manufactured in this world, all the things done in this world, you know, does anybody here know all the recipes there are for all the foods that are made? No. And you can spend a lifetime learning things about food preparation, different types of food. And it can be very interesting. But it's like you weren't with me, but the estate sale that I stopped by, I think, last summer. And this one lady apparently had passed away, and they were selling her possessions. And she had just this amazing interest in Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy dolls. And her basement had one whole wall with shelves packed full of all these Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls. And she found them very interesting. She probably knew who made them, where they came from, all those sorts of things. But they weren't selling. They weren't selling. And you see it so many times where people, they love this knowledge, they love a certain thing, but they find that, you know, there aren't that many other people that enjoy that. So there is lots of things that we can know, lots of things that we can learn. There's lots of things that we can master the skills and the knowledge. I was having some problems with my tractor, and I got on, there's a tractor forum. There's a world of people out there who just love to work on tractors and have a mechanical experience. And I just threw in a question about a fuel shutoff solenoid on a 70-something international tractor. And within minutes, I had people responding. And one guy's a super moderator with over almost 15,000 responses. He just loves to learn and to share knowledge. But what value is that in eternity? The preacher in Ecclesiastes, what Solomon is doing is he's looking at all this. Solomon sees all of this information flow and all this knowledge in the world. And he himself is very intelligent, and God, he prayed for wisdom and understanding in guiding the people of Israel. And God blessed him with wisdom. And he saw all these people and all these things, and he began to think, and he here preaches about it. He assembles it so that it might be put in its proper perspective. So he's a preacher. He's the son of David. His heritage lends credibility to the message he's about to write. He lends historical heritage so the people of Israel would know to listen to him, that he is in the line of those who will rule over Jerusalem forever. He's in the lineage of Christ. He's among the at the time, the chosen people of God to bear the name of God to the world. And then also he introduces himself as the king in Jerusalem. He's a person with credentials. So he's kind of introducing himself from a position of authority and knowledge and credibility. And so he's begging, he's not begging, but he's imploring people to listen to what he has to say. And then he hits with verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Have you ever felt that way? What value is there? All the things I've done. I've talked to many people that were retired or have retired, and we may be talking about retirement. And you know, you always have this vision in your head, well, boy, when I'm gone, they're really going to miss me. Don't let the door bump you on the way out. You are forgotten, as the one verse says, you are forgotten as soon as the new people come in. Who? Who are you? How many years are you here? Never heard of you. Never heard of you. You skip a generation or two, you know, like I've mentioned so many times. How many people can you name that lived in 1845? You know, their lives were very important to them. Their families were very important to them. They may have been very important in their communities. But who remembers them? Who knows what they did? It's a precious life that has been lived and forgotten by this world. But God does not forget. It's work that God is doing in us. It's what we lay up in heaven. It's what God knows about us that is of eternal value. The rest in this world is forgotten. There's no library for every person that lived in 1845 with their personal library that tells about their life story. It doesn't exist. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? We all work every day in some way, manner, or another. We do this, we do that, and we give ourselves to all sorts of things. And we learn things. Like I said, I like to learn new things and learn about things and learn how to do things and discover how things work. But is there really any value to it? There is, as long as we keep it in perspective. And the perspective is, enjoy it. Solomon mentions that. Enjoy it. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your life. But know that this is not anything that's going to endure. It's not going to last. What endures is your walk with God, your testimony with God. Those things that are not of this world, but the labor, as we read in Hebrews, you know, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. Those things, the one who keeps the books, the one who remembers all things of importance, will never forget. But anyway, we move on. So what we discover, though, in verse 3 is we all spend a lot of time doing a lot of things that don't matter eternally. They are simply not that important. They are simply not as important as we might think they are or others think they are. That lady took to her grave her love for Raggedy Ann and Andy's. But the life that she lived in the process and the lives that she touched, if she was a spiritual woman, that collection is a way of expressing her love and her dedication to things. It might just be one aspect of her life. Verse 4 says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. How many times have we seen bell-bottom pants come into style? How many times have we seen different things, there's one I won't mention, but come into style, and people think they discovered something new. Have white pants and fluorescent socks come back yet? Probably. I wouldn't know about it. But one generation that we are interested in me and us and what immediately surrounds us. But what do we know? They talk about the great generation, those that fought and went through World War II and came together as a nation to fight World War II and win and not be taken over and not be allow Hitler and his and Japan to have their way in the world. And now they are passing away one by one by one. And some people don't know even when World War II happened and why it happened, and it's really just not important. Well, it doesn't affect me today. It does, but they don't know it. They aren't aware of it. So there's lots of knowledge out there that is forgotten. People are forgotten. Works are forgotten. As verse 5 says, the sun also comes up, it goes down, and comes back up in the east every day. So there's a cycle in this world. The wind blows from the north, it blows from the south, it whirls around and returns again to where it's, you know, where does that wind go? Where does it come from? And it's always done that in the world as we know it. And it'll keep on doing that. And people will ooh and ah about the change in the wind and all sorts and talk about the weather. But it's done that before. The rivers all run into the sea, yet the sea isn't full. When you look at the size of the rivers, in the storms like they're getting in California right now. There's a lot of water coming down, going into the ocean, but the ocean isn't full. It isn't flooding the mountains and the lands. Once the storms pass, the beaches are the same, the water line on the beach is the same, the tide is the same. They have their circuits. This work that continues on. And there's a circuit that continues on in mankind. We are born, we get to that. We're born, we live our lives, we grow up, we live our lives, we take on a task, we make, have a family, we do our works, we have our interests and all those sorts of things. We grow old, we leave this world, and within a generation, who are you? Who are you? Never heard of you. Never heard of you. Verse 8 says, all things are full of labor. I mean, this isn't an easy thing. We have to give our hearts. We have to give our lives. We have to labor. They're full of labor. Nothing is easy. Like this trouble I was having in my tractor. You know, it started all the other times that I went out and it wouldn't start. Nothing. And I thank the Lord. I won't go into the story, but I thank the Lord for literally shedding light on the problem. And I'm on the road to have to get a part to get it fixed. But it's in labor. It's and how we strive. There was on the radio program, there was this man, I think for National Public Radio, went back and searched newspapers and things from 1923 and found predictions that people back in 1923, you know, what would the world be like in 100 years? And again, this wasn't just one article. It's things he collected. So there's a lot of labor involved in gathering that together. But one of the things that people back in 1923 thought was that because of the advent and the increased use of electricity, that people would only have to work 4 hours a day and life would be easy because everything would be electric. That was what they promised with electric, automatic washing machines and dryers and stoves, or splitting wood or carrying coal or anything like that. People would simply, in vacuums, would speed up house cleaning so much, and all these things that electricity was going to do, life was just going to be easy. That was a lot of the advertisements in the 50s. These housewives, these big flowing skirts, and life was just a breeze. They'd be having time for tea parties with their friends because nothing else to do. How'd that work out? Not like they thought. But the prediction was that people would have to work, maybe a person worked 4 hours a day. They have enough money. Everything would be easy. And another prediction was that there'd be no internal combustion engines, that cars would be driven by radio waves. Imagine lots of miracles. But no, life is still full of labor. Now, again, I doubt if any of you had to get up this morning and split some wood and some kindling and start a fire to warm up your house and to cook breakfast or start something for lunch. Yeah, it's easier. But how do you pay for electricity? How do you pay for the gas? You have to have a job. How do you pay for the house that you live in? You have to have a job. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. Man can't understand it and comprehend it. Man can't even, it's beyond expression how tired, how laborious our lives are and how much it takes out of us. You know, just remember, tomorrow morning is Monday morning for those of you who used to work, and you got to get up and you got to go to work because that's Monday morning. How many people dread Monday morning? It's back to the nose to the grindstone and back into the rat race, back into the trenches. And it's wearing. The things are full of labor. All things are full of labor. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We live in a time where there is, and I've mentioned this already, such an abundance of knowledge and so many things to learn. I love learning. But now we have so many ways of gathering knowledge. It fills up our minds with all sorts of things. And you can spend days and days and days and weeks and years searching out one subject. And you've just barely touched all the knowledge that's available. The thing, verse 9 says, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. That which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. There are different inventions, there are different things, but the routine of human life remains the same. Things come, things go, things change. They all involve labor and commitment, and we get tired of them. Or we can give ourselves to them and it profits us nothing. That's life in this world. Verse 10 says, Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, and which was before us. It's happened before. There's an article this morning, a little bit on news about. A man had done some research into how in the Roman Empire how they made concrete and how they built the Colosseum, and how that Colosseum, you know, is still standing and is still structurally sound after 2,000 some years. Don't know exactly when it was built, and he's studying the concrete. He found out, oh, they did something when they made their concrete. They did this. We always thought it was a lack of planning, but what this little white crystals in there, calcium carbonate crystals in there, what it shows is they mixed their concrete and they made it, and they heated it up before they poured it, which sped up the curing process and made a harder, better concrete. He's talking about incorporating that into future constructions, because concrete these days, you know, how long do the streets last? They fall apart. Concrete, I've done a lot of work with concrete, and it doesn't last that long, not for 2,000 years. But see, they knew something then that we don't know now. They learned something by their experience that we can learn from, but it's the same. Those things were forgotten. It's been here already. We've done that before. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those things that shall come after. We're incredibly adept at forgetting important information. Forgetting about the big, big picture, which Solomon's getting to. The big picture is that what was really, really important in our lives is that the things of God, the knowledge of God, do endure forever. They are not forgotten. There is one who surpasses the limits of time, who recalls, who remembers, who records things that are of enduring value, enduring purpose. The things of this world and things of earth, all these things are going to pass away. Peter talks about seeing that these things will all melt with a fervent heat, what manner of lives we should be living. We need to know things. We need to understand things. We need to know how to do our jobs. We need to know how to do our jobs better. But that is not the key to life. The practice of medicine is always changing. They talk about the bettering things, but you know, the one given in the practice of all medicine is that it's going to reach its limits and it's going to fail. And they might change your health a little way this way or that way. They may be a help for a time, but eventually we will all pass away and another generation will come. There's a great deal of we learn scientifically. But what's it really going to matter to us? What's really going to matter if the world lasts that long in 200 years when we know that there's a lot of volcanic activity on the dark side or the backside of Neptune or something like that. How's that going to affect my day to day? Except my taxes go up to pay for that research. Man strives to learn new things, but the most of the things that people give their times and their energy and their money, their resources to learn, will be forgotten and is in vain, as verse 3 says. What profit? What real profit? And that's something that plagues me. It is something that's been very important in my initial salvation when I came to believe in Christ as my Savior. And it's been very important in my life that there are some things simply not worth my time. Even though they might be important to other people, that's fine. Other people might pursue those things, that's fine. But for me, I want to learn more about the things of God and what God is doing in my life. Because those things will endure. That is the very bedrock of the circumstances under which I became a believer. Because I was giving my life and my efforts and my resources to pursue something until the Lord caused me to step back and look at it and realize that, you know, I can pour my heart and soul into something and nobody will notice. Red Leech, I can't remember the name of the artist, but here not too long ago, in the last few months, somebody pulled a painting out of a dumpster. I thought, huh, that looks kind of nice. I think I'll take it home. I'll look at it and research a little bit. It was a long-lost painting that had been stolen, I think, in World War II and worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. There are treasures that are easily forgotten because the person doesn't have the knowledge of what that is worth. It's just an old painting that was thrown in the trash. I don't like the colors. The frame's cracked. It's just been around a long time. I don't want it anymore. We hear those sort of stories all the time. We turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Some very familiar verses, but I think it's important to read them in context of what Solomon's writing about and in context with what we're talking about today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1, to everything there is a season. There's a time for it and a time for it not to be. That's what the seasons are. There's a time for spring, but it can't be spring year-round. There's time for summer, but it can't be summer year-round. Like it or not, there's a time for winter. It serves its purpose. But life year-round, winter's not survivable for the world, at least not in our climate. To everything there is a season, a set period of time in which certain things happen. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. You know, what would life be like if there was not a time to be born? It's obvious, isn't it? And a time to die. We don't like to think about that so much. But it's just as certain as a time to be born. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Otherwise, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? A time to kill and a time to heal. Those are both necessary things or good things. And it can be good things. A time to break down and a time to build up. Happens throughout history. Throughout history. As they do archaeological digs and stuff, there's something, I think they're opening it up over in Jerusalem. They discovered it many years ago, but they're wanting to get more of it opened up. But the Pool of Bethesda, where the lame man would go down and hoping there'd be a stirring of the water and he could step in and be healed, but you know nobody was there to help him. So Jesus asked him, would you be made whole? It's where Jesus healed. And they have this pool, and it had an artist's recreation of what it looked like and what purpose it served. And they discovered under many layers of Jerusalem, as it was ransacked, knocked down, and built over the top of. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And I'm not going to talk about each of these. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit? Again, it comes down to what is the benefit that he has that works in that wherein he labors? What benefit is there in that if it is going to be forgotten along with your name and your efforts? He says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. He said that the world is set in our heart, and our focus is on the things of the world. I mean, we can't discover the things of God. Those are spiritual discoveries. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. That's one of the valuable things in our lives, that no matter what our days are consumed with, that we seek to do good and to rejoice in God. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Enjoy what God has given you. Give thanks for what God has given you. And I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Whatever God does shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. The things of God are the only things in our lives and the generations and over the centuries and the millennia in human existence. The work of God is the only thing that remains and is of any value. So the question that Solomon poses as we go through more of Ecclesiastes at the end, he closes by saying, well, let me return quickly to the last chapter, chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The Lord is the determiner. He is the eternal. He is the one who endures, and his works endure. And the work he calls us to do will endure. The things of God will last. The things of God will continue and go on. But the things in the world that we live in, that we do on a daily basis, we must keep them in perspective. We must keep them with the understanding that it's that which is done, and as we walk with God, done for God, with God, that matter. Because there is a certain guarantee there that everything else, in a very short amount of time, will have no value. Most of the world right now doesn't know any of us exist. Guaranteed, 99.999, however many nines you want to add to it. If there's 8 billion people in the world, you know, name 100 that know you exist. A very small, how many are going to remember you after you're gone? God always remembers. And so it's the things that we do, the wisdom of God, our walk with God, that are stored up, that are kept, that are of eternal value. Enjoy your life in this world. It's okay to learn new things and do new things, but all must be kept in perspective, that the things of God are the only things that will endure. No matter how much we might love a certain thing or love a certain topic, someday, if time plays out, someday you'll look at it and go, you know, I gave a lot. I gave myself to that, a lot of myself and time and money to that. And now it has no value in my eyes. That's why oftentimes the elderly, they'll have things that are very valuable, very precious, things that were passed down from generations. And somebody says, I'd like to have it. And says, you can have it. I have no interest in it. I simply do not have any interest in it anymore. It holds no value for me. Because they realize that their strength and their life in this world is passing away bit by bit. It was fun for a while. But when we keep it in perspective, then we can truly enjoy life and keep our lives in perspective and give ourselves to those things, make time for those things that are of eternal value. I thank God for Ecclesiastes. It's not the individual verses that build sound doctrine. But it's the reality that he captures, much like Job, that teaches us there's a time to live, there's a time to plant, there's a time to build, but it's all going to be undone. But now is the time to walk with God. Today. Today, while it's called today, David wrote, believe in God. Lay hold of salvation. Lay hold of hope. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, O God, for your faithfulness and goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us how minuscule our issues and our problems really are, and how capable you are as we look to you, and how precious your word and your presence and your working in our lives truly is. Father, help us not to be caught up in the micro details of our lives and the aspects of our lives, but to be free, to look at the bigger picture and keep things in your perspective, in an eternal perspective. And we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Number 771, verse 1. Let's stand. Verse 1. 771, verse 1. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land, that he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. we grow in knowledge and the wisdom of Christ. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. And give God thanks for his goodness. Amen.